And right now it is time to forget about all that and head to sunny Florida and be joined by Judy Wortman, of course, with Food for Mood. Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com. Also, Before Her Voice Was Still, A Friendship in the Shadow of ALS, and also the Journal of a Duck Midwife. And I hope you've got that dog under control, Judy.
Yes. You know, hi, good morning to both of you. The problem is that when the phone rings, the dog assumes it's to announce that somebody's going to come to the door, at whom the dog will totally bark for the next 15 minutes. So she sort of, it's a preemptive bark, like, okay, let me make sure I can bark loud enough when the person comes to the dog. I'm just practicing now.
It's good. Yeah, it practice makes...
You know, what can I do?
You know the old one, how do you get to Carnegie Hall?
Pardon?
How do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice,
that's
practice,
right, exactly.
Practice.
Well, practicing her, she just practices her bark. Anyway, I was sort of delighted when I was doing some research for the article I wrote today for this week to find that something I had suggested years ago in terms of eating for mood or needing to make sure that you stayed awake or being alert was finally having some kind of a research underpinnings. I had suggested many years ago that if one wanted to perform at one's mental best, and to be able to be alert and attentive and focused, that you should try to avoid eating a lot of high-fat foods at the meal that preceded your, quote, performance. Like if you were going to be giving a talk or taking a bar exam or some other important national exam, you know, presenting something to your colleagues, or let's say going into surgery, or maybe buying a plane, that you would be best off, you know, trying to avoid high-fat foods because it would slow down your mental processes and make you excessively sleepy and therefore unable to concentrate. And I had suggested this mainly based on a lot of anecdotal information, but about 3 or 4 years ago, there was a paper presented at a conference on sleep by an American, it was called the Associated Professional Sleep Society, by an American researcher who said that if people ate high-fat foods, they tended to exhibit increased daytime sleepiness and then oftentimes would take a nap, and this would lead to disruptive sleep at night. And he had done this by feeding non-obese adult men various meals and measuring their level of sleepiness an hour or so after the food was digested. And that finding was actually reinforced and repeated by two different studies that were done in Australia, in which really hundreds and hundreds of subjects were asked about their food intake on a daily basis in one study for over a year, and the measurement of how sleepy they were during the day and how disruptive their sleep was at night was made, and it found, again, that people who ate a high-fat meal before, a high-fat meal before, let's say, lunch or dinner, and then were asked to report on their mental performance, their ability to concentrate and attentiveness and mental energy, et cetera, were found to really have a significant deterioration in these measurements. But, you know, the thing is that even though these are scientific data that support this notion, I don't think most of us would need to turn to a scientific study to believe in this effect. I mean, the most obvious relationship between eating and how you feel afterward is something that we tend to experience, not you and I, Jill, but tend to experience on Thanksgiving Day when a large meal is eaten, a lot of the foods contain a substantial amount of fat in the form of butter or oil or eggs or cream or maybe bacon or other fatty, you know, substances, cheese, and then find that around the time the food is sort of hitting the intestinal tract, there is an overwhelming desire to take a nap. And for a long time it was thought, oh, this is because there's tryptophan in turkey, and tryptophan gets into the brain and makes serotonin, and serotonin tends to make us feel calm and maybe sleepy. But that's not true at all, because serotonin doesn't get into the brain after you eat turkey. In fact, it can't get into the brain after you eat any kind of protein. But it's really the high fat that has done it. And I wondered whether if one has to rely on somebody, let's say a neurosurgeon who's going to be operating on your spine, if, you know, we should really say to somebody, gee, what are you having for lunch before you're operating on me? Or sometimes when you watch, and I have, you know, you're sitting in an airport waiting area, boarding area, and you see the pilots carrying, you know, a bag of crunchy, high-fat snacks, and I'm thinking, do I really want that pilot to be eating those snacks while he's piloting the plane? Because I really want him to be attentive. Maybe he should be eating something like, you know, just plain a cereal without any fat on it rather than these high-fat snacks, because it really is a definite relationship. And the curious thing is that cultures, mostly in Europe, and in South and Central America, took note of this, and they actually built the whole workday around the idea that after you have a large meal, which may contain a substantial amount of fat, you should take a nap. You take a nap, you go to sleep, you wake up 2 hours later, and you're fine. And indeed, if you went to Europe, and I'm sure that's not true today, but maybe 10, 20 years ago, and certainly beyond that, you would find that stores would close from 1 o'clock, let's say, to 4 o'clock, or 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock. You know, if you were a tourist and you were in a town where this happened, you were out of luck. I mean, even you were out of luck even finding a place to eat, because these metal shutters would go down. People
would
go home.
Right.
They'd have a big meal. They'd go to sleep, and then 3 or 4 hours later, maybe 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the shutters go up, the doors would open, and people would start working again. And I remember visiting friends of ours in Argentina years and years ago, and it was the same thing. People would go home for lunch, they would sleep, they would go back to work around 4 or 5 o'clock, and they worked 8 o'clock at night. But the point is, they had a big meal at lunch, and they would sleep, because it was acknowledged that you couldn't really do very much else. And I think we either have to realize that if we're eating a high fat meal, we better not plan on doing anything that requires much brain work, or plan on taking a nap. And maybe, you know, people who were able to work from home for the past couple of years were able to do this. Of course, I'm sure they're not able to do this anymore.
Right.
But I really wonder if that affects, if you're aware of that too, because you're eating, and then you have to at odd hours, and you have to stay really alert. And you can't take a chance that what you eat might make you fall asleep on the air.
Right. And but a lot of people, it's really interesting, because the basics are so skew-iff at this point. And there is, I'm not talking about our demographic per se. That's got a different complication. But we've got a bunch of what I'm going to call youngins who don't know the first thing about how what you eat actually affects what happens
next. That's right.
No, I mean, not a clue. So you're essentially right now speaking, you know, one of those Cyrillic languages that's very hard to read.
Yeah, you know, but one source of food, of fat, high fat, is overlooked. Well, it's not overlooked, but people want to ignore it deliberately. Fast foods, some fast foods can be extremely high in fat. And the meal itself is not gargantuan. I mean, if I'm a good eater, I could probably eat one of these double cheeseburgers with bacon and, you know, maybe a high-fat sauce on top of it along with French fries and maybe some ice cream. You know, a substantial eater could consume that and not think that he is going to be consuming that many calories. But you could be consuming 70, 80, maybe 90 grams of fat in one meal. And no wonder people feel tired after that. In fact, you really wonder, should people even be getting into a car and driving? Is it that sleepy? Which is something that nobody ever brings up. But, you know, you go to a fast food restaurant on a highway, and then you eat a really high-fat meal, and then you get, let's say it's, you know, you're tired already, and you get into the car again. Is that really a good idea? I mean, I think you're right, Jill. People go on the internet and they look at all these supplements and all these herbs and twigs and stems and extracts from places deep in the Amazon jungle or what have you, you know, to maybe affect their mood, but they overlooked the most obvious causes of just plain food that may be high in the wrong ingredients.
Yep, and I think
the happy part about this is that one of these studies found that it was only saturated fat that does this. So if you have, you know, a lunch of avocado toast, that's fine. if you have olive oil on a large salad, that's fine. You know, if you the plant sources of fat are not going to cause you to go into sort of a mental coma. Well, after you eat, it's really just the saturated fats, you know, in butter and eggs and cream and bacon and cheese, you know, all those foods.
All those things that are lashed out at lunchtime.
Content meat, like pork.
All right. Now, listen, we are sadly out of time, but I think this is something that we need to definitely pursue in the most stripped down version imaginable.
Lean eating. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Dr. Judy Wertmann. Food for Mood.
And you can hear Judy with Food for Mood every Thursday morning here on Robin Hood Radio, also online, robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand, click on Food for Mood with Judy Wertmann.